When a school makes the effort to become an IB World School through a years-long period of reflection and self-evaluation, the entire school agrees to embark on a continuous journey of self-improvement. Today we talk to J.S. Sharma, an experienced IB school leader, about the school improvement plan required of all IB schools. J.S. shares highlights from her school's plan and how they engage all stakeholders in the experience. You'll see when you focus on a particular area of improvement, it kicks off a cluster of academic activities with benefits beyond a single goal. Welcome to IB Matters, a podcast for those who currently teach, lead, attend, or are interested in International Baccalaureate IB schools. Hi, folks, and welcome back to IB Matters. Today, we've got a special guest and also, I think, a special topic. We haven't talked about this before, and our guest today is J.S. Sharma, and she is a school leader who has helped work with her school going through an IB evaluation, and we're going to talk about an aspect of IB evaluation and also a piece that every IB World School needs to be working on, which is called a program development plan. You might hear us short it to another of the many acronyms, PDP, but it is a program development plan. And I want to welcome you, Jaya, to the podcast, and also thank you for reaching out to talk about this important topic.
Thank you, John. And I'm extremely happy to be a part of this podcast and share my experiences about the PDP.
Great, great. So why don't you fill in our listeners a little bit about yourself so they kind of know where you're coming from.
Hello, everybody. I am J.S. Sharma and I work at the Pathways World School, Aravali. It's in India, Gurgaon specifically, and it's an IB World School, and it is an continuous school, and I work as the IB continuum coordinator and accreditation coordinator, and I have an experience of around 18 plus years in the IB. I have worked in the MYP earlier and carried out multiple leadership roles, and now I have worked as the head of the English department, and now I am the IB continuum coordinator at my school, and my job is to ensure that all three programs are aligned with each other and there's a seamless transition from one program into the other.
Well, that's great. So it's good to have somebody like you in the school building. I think not every school has that. So when you say continuum, you mean, do you have all the way from the PYP through the MYP and the DP?
Yes, I look after the continuum of all three programs. It is a continuum school, and my job is to see that it is well aligned.
Okay. And so you have students that start out as little ones and can graduate having a complete IB educational experience from K-12 the whole way,
right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Very good. Very good. I noticed on our notes that we're sharing that you've also provided some links for listeners if they want to follow up with you or get some of the some more information about you and your school and some of the things that we're going to be talking about today. I encourage listeners to check out our podcast notes because we'll put those links in there and they'll get to know a little bit more about what you're doing and where you're doing it. So thanks for sharing those links.
Thank you.
So our listeners come from a lot of different backgrounds, both in experience and from lots of places in the world, but all IB schools share one thing, and that is the program of school evaluation. And it includes the program development plan that we're talking about today. Do you give listeners a kind of a paint a picture of what the evaluation system includes overall?
So as we know that IB evaluation happens once every this 5 years. And now the IB has recently revised its program standard and practices. And the first evaluation via the new program standards and practices started in the year 2021. So the PDP, of course, which stands for Program Development Plan, is an area of development that the school has worked in the 5 years up until the evaluation. And we, the purpose of this program development is for schools to show impact. So it's not something really about what the school is currently working on, unless it's a very long-term project. So we, the school is expected to choose an area of focus and show how it has planned, implemented, analyzed, and also reflected on like what the positive impact of this focus area was on the students.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, for listeners relatively new to the IB, IB schools don't just become an IB school and then just put the label on the outside of the building or on their letterhead and then keep it the same all the time. This is a piece of the evaluation and development of all IB World schools to continue their improvement. And as you said, it sounds like you're saying you choose a specific aspect. There is no, the IB doesn't tell you what it is that you should develop your.
So, of course, IB has various areas of development, like the ATL's approaches to learning, IB learner profile, international mindedness, approaches to teaching. So it has all these various aspects, and it is of course left to the school out of all these IB aspects to pick up any one which the school wants to explicitly just focus on and plan on its improvement and make it really visible. So it's a part of the school's self assessment, and so which is submitted for a IB evaluation along with this self-study document.
Okay.
And so if we have more than one IB program, of course, as we are, because we are an IB continuum school, so we can choose to submit one PDP per program. And we can also choose to focus only on a single aspect across all three programs.
Okay. That was actually going to be my next question, because I thought, well, that's interesting. So it might be that working with the young children in the primary years, you might have a different focus, and with the older students, you might have another focus. And you're just saying that that's a possibility. What have you done in your school? Have you kind of worked with one theme throughout the continuum, or have you adapted each one differently?
So, yes, we had a lot of meetings to decide what exactly we wanted to do. So we, after a number of meetings with all the stakeholders and the leadership team, so we decided that it would be best to focus on a single IB aspect across all three programs. And the reason was that since we are continuing, it would help us to also understand that how it shows across all the age groups. And so it would help us to create more action plans, more stronger action plans, and also strengthen our continuum.
Okay. And what did you choose this round?
So, as I said, we had multiple meetings. So we had a student survey done first. We sort of involved all the stakeholders. So we also got the opinions of the students, parents, of course, our teachers, management team. And so after having lots of these surveys, so the most popular choice was initially it was the ATL, which is Approaches to Learning, and And the second one was this learner agency.
Yep.
And so these were the most popular ones. And then after that, when we had our leadership meeting, so we narrowed down on the learner agency, because we felt that the ATLs is at the heart of learner agency. In fact, it forms, like learner agency. So if we were to focus on learner agency, then there are many other student aspects like the ATT, the ATLs, and student this well-being, everything would automatically be taken care of.
Yeah, and that's a great one. And the nice thing, when you said ATLs, I wasn't surprised, because that is kind of at the heart of the framework of all IB programs. And I think just from my seat, where what I do, and also from working with this podcast, I'm seeing there's a lot of interest, especially in the ATLs with the older children. ATLs have always kind of been at the heart of MYP and the PYP, but sometimes forgotten for the DP. And I think that's a great thing to emphasize now as we move forward. And then the term agency has become really central to so much that we, you know, we realize that what it is you're trying to give all of us, even adults, is to take charge and have the self-confidence and the, you know, the term agency we use all the time to do the next thing, you know, to try something new, to be a risk taker, to just know that you can go into a situation and with your skill set and your confidence to from experience, things that you've tried and done before, you can do the new thing that you haven't tried before. So, yeah, that's a great thing. Let's get back to the actual program development plan that you're working on, and let's use it as an example for our listeners to think about their own and what they would be doing as they anticipate or continue working on their own. So you've got some ideas about how to implement it and how to evaluate it as you're implementing it. You want to talk a little bit about the evidence that you're using, the procedures, the ways in which you're helping to develop the aspects of the plan that you have in place.
So right, we finally decided that learner agency is going to be our focus for the PDP. Then, of course, as you're aware, that IB also provides a like template on which to work on it. And it has many exemplars also on the website. So we also looked through some examples. And after that, we had a meeting and we started looking at the IB program standards and practices. And we had to choose 6 to 8 IB standards from 4 to 8 program practices from at least 2 of the 4 categories of the program standards and practices. So which will help us in actually carrying out a plan. So then we had a number of meetings for that. And we also wanted to align our PDP with the school mission and school vision. And the state and our learning like definitions. So we wanted to create a crosswalk, you know, between all these three. So then we had a whole staff meeting where we made smaller teams, and the teachers then helped us to choose the 4 to 8 program practices. Then we had meetings about the rationale of like choosing all these 4 to 8 practices, why we are doing it. The template provides why, what, who, and how. So we decided on all these things. We shortlisted a practice that would help to make sure that the right conditions were in place. We also shortlisted a practice to show who is responsible, and a practice that explains how that will be achieved, and a practice that sort of indicates why we were working on this area of program development. And so what was the reason for the focus. We also wanted to plan to consult us or research on some other schools, how they had also carried out all these plans. And after that, we worked on the implementation and the analysis. So how would we learn, you know, what was the impact of our work on the students? How would we collect the this evidence? How would we measure the student impact and all those things? We had a number of meeting on all these areas.
So, you know, with one of the things that is sometimes difficult when you have a big system across a whole school like this program development plan is to get everyone on board in the same. So, you know, with, you know, all of us listening, I'm sure have been part of meetings that sometimes don't get out of the meeting room, or they don't actually get implemented. How are you helping the teachers, classroom teachers, implement the plan and just themselves be engaged in the implementation of it beyond what the leadership teams are doing?
So we created smaller teams, and these teams were like very diverse, and we also tried to include the students, as I said.
Oh, okay.
We had a small team, so which comprised of teachers from all three programs. So this was known as a steering committee. And so this steering committee was responsible for actually collating all the evidence from all the three programs. And we regularly had weekly stay back meetings where we just encouraged our teachers to share their best practices,
mm-hmm.
and to speak out loudly about how they felt and what went well in their classroom, to maybe share an example and to share the student reflection sheets, what the students felt about. So we regularly had almost all these stay back meetings every week. And the steering committee, of course, then, and we created lots of reflection sheets also, so that, we could understand that. And then we created a common link on the school, OneDrive, so where all this evidence was collected, so that the whole school, this entire school could look at all the evidences and also where we were heading. So that if somebody had a really good example to share, the others could also look into it. And after that, the leadership team sat down with the steering committee and we looked at all the evidences and sort of this filtered out which were the most convincing, which were the most strong ones.
Sure.
And we also had all these lesson observations regularly, in fact, and we encouraged teachers to regularly go into each other's classes and of course not to to see as an outsider what did learner agency look like. And we created our small internal evaluation teams too, so which comprised of the school director and the principal and the IBCs. And sometimes we would simply enter into the classrooms and then we would start asking all these questions to our students. So we regularly and very consciously did all these things so that learner agency was the buzzword in the whole community and in the whole school, amongst the students, amongst parents, and amongst also teachers, because we had many teachers who were new to IB and some who had no IB experience at all. So we had to do all these things so that everybody spoke the same, this language, across the three programs.
Okay. So can you drill down into a couple specific examples? You mentioned quality evidence. Can you share a couple of pieces of evidence from students that you felt was worthy of sharing or using as evidence of the impact that you're having?
Right. So something that I would like to mention is it was not as if learner agency was not being this practiced earlier. We are a 19-year-plus school. So it was not as if it was something new to us. But when we made it our this PDP, we made it more explicit.
Yep.
And so we made a huge noise about it and we made sure that we documented everything. And we also provided the teachers also the opportunity of voice and choice. And so now to answer your question specifically, so we had students, of course, learner agency is very explicitly seen in the student's personal project, or the TOK exhibition, or their choice of extended essay, or the IEAs which they pick up and which they do on their own.
Yeah.
Or we have the PYP exhibition, exit years exhibition. So of course, while it is evident through these assessment procedures, which have been stipulated by IB, however, so we wanted to move obviously beyond that and see learner agency all across and also beyond the academic landscape.
Mm-hmm.
So hence we had students, we could see explicitly, we had a student who started a project when she was in the primary years program. And then so the same student, we had her reflecting on how when she had joined our school, she She had started a small like booklet about women empowerment, especially, and then she made, and she also expanded it when she made her personal project like choice, and so when she went ahead in the diploma program, she made it a like part of her TOK exhibition. So that was really wonderful. And then we have a group of students who started their own magazine, known as Political Pandoras, which now also includes many international schools. Then we have the student council and the boarding council. So like where the students make like choices about the whole menu, like the boarding menu is created by them, or the student council members are also involved in many like school issues or the various activities which they organize, you know, on their own. And like recently we had the academic fest in our school, and so which was again a sort of an explicit plan to strengthen the continuum and to showcase our continuum program to all our stakeholders. So it was completely student-led, and right from the PYP up till the DP, the students planned what they wanted to showcase. And so like some of the examples being, so they created a like rap song out of a Shakespeare text which they were studying, some like design some other thing, maybe little like brochures, so create awareness about many things. Some created their own musical piece or some artwork. So we have a lot of examples where students take the initiative apart from the requirements of the IB program and on their own, and they practice it at home also sometimes when they like take the initiative to be more responsible and more caring and also take ownership of their own learning. We've also like started the process of reflection very strongly. So where the students inform us about how they want to learn and like what they want to learn. So there are many examples where we see that the learner agency is becoming more stronger in our students.
Well, that's great. I particularly like the first story you talked about, the young lady who took, I think you talked about it was women's empowerment, and developed it from her early years to her middle years to her diploma program. And of course, the sophistication of the product grows each time as the student gets older. But it's one of the big advantages of being a continuum school is that students can really develop their passions and demonstrate them in increasingly complex ways as they get older. So that's really cool. But a lot of good examples in what you just shared there. You know, when we were talking about the program development plan and how it helps a school become stronger and sustain their IB programs, you know, listeners can hear, I'm sure, in your examples, you know, this is just one thing, but you've been talking about several other, you know, we talk about student agency, but you've been talking about reflection and communication. And while you're talking, it sounds like you're even students are developing their action plans and their connection to community through this work as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I believe that PDP is basically it is a cluster of academic mind. I mean, like not exactly PDP, but learner agency, I would say, is a cluster of academic mindsets and like learning strategies. And it ultimately boils down to that student agency means that the students have the power to act.
Right.
And they also take increasing responsibility for their own learning. And so when I say your learning, of course, learning is not limited only to academic, but of course is also focused on all areas of their life. And I think here IB learner profile also plays a huge role, because at the end of the day, IB like learner profile, as IB mentions, is a like range of human this capacities and responsibility. So I feel that like through learner agency, we also guide our students or we mentor our students to also take action on the areas which a student feels is extremely relevant and something which the student is really passionate about. It also, of course, increases students' like self-esteem and confidence.
Yeah.
So our job, I feel, is to organize various learning activities so that seem more meaningful and more like relevant to our learners.
Sure. You mentioned earlier that your school has been doing this for about 19 years. So that means there have been previous program development plans. And also there will be, of course, future program development plans. What happens to a program development plan in the next cycle? You know, every 5 years, school goes through evaluation. How does it sustained, or do you kind of, you know, figure, I mean, I'm sure this isn't how it works, but you kind of put that one to bed and then go on to the next one. I'm sure it's ongoing, but how do you ensure that the sustainability of some of the great ideas that you're working on each cycle?
Said, of course, in our next evaluation plan, so we look at a new aspect. But of course, as I see, all these aspects of the IBPDP aspects are all, of course, interlinked. Yeah. So as I said, that first we were looking at ATL, but ATL was happening. But then we said that it would be much better if we make learner agency, because then ATLs would form the backbone. Obviously, when we are looking at learner agency and making it more explicit, we had to work on also the ATLs and the ATTs. And of course, then the outcome is obviously the learner profile. So in the same way, we can't obviously look at one aspect in only isolation. While of course, the highlight is that one aspect. But at the end of the day, if we have to make our students caring, compassionate, knowledgeable, inquirers, so which is what is our purpose, so we have to look backwards means the students should have the attributes or the competencies or the skills, so which is obviously the ATLs. And if they have to take any meaningful action and make an impact on the world, so they have to be autonomous and they have to be this agentic learners. So I don't really see that we put something on the back burner, because we always look for closing all these gaps. So we do, gap analysis, we create our plan for the future action, and we measure how we are doing that. So it is an ongoing activity. It only happens that for a particular evaluative year, so we zoom in on us, on one aspect, and we make it explicit. So I don't see it as a sort of a huge issue, except that we have to be extremely conscious of the fact that we have to continuously work on it. So as we move ahead, we have to look at how did we implement, what were the recommendations of the last evaluation, what were the areas which we still have to, we have a review cycle also of our own, so which is this in review cycle. And so in our department meetings, in our schools, we also continually review the old one and we move ahead whichever we want as our next one.
Well, your term gap analysis, in terms of just understanding, what's our weakness, what are the things that we could do better at. It's and I think one of the things is, you were talking, and I've I'm definitely all in with the International Baccalaureate, all its programs, but one of the genius things about this system of evaluation and school visits that you do, and the self-evaluation, is that you are intended to be reflective, just like we ask the students to be. And in your teaching roles and in your school programs, you're always constantly evaluating, reflecting, and thinking, okay, what could I do better? And this gives you that vehicle. And schools just keep getting better. There's always something arising, some conflict, something that gets in the way, whether it's budget or change of personnel. Maybe there is a crisis like the COVID-19 pandemic, and your school has to react to those things. And so then that kind of brings out, this is a place we can't make transitions very well, or we struggle when we're put under pressure. So I appreciate the fact that as you're explaining this, you're really pointing out to our listeners and reminding us all that reflection is at the heart of all this, and having some humility about the program. Sometimes people are very proud of what they've created, but then they let it just sit there. So it's important that we constantly look back on what we're doing and what we could do better in the future. And I think your description of what you're doing is going to be really helpful for people to understand better what they could do.
Right. So this whole evaluation process is actually like this iterative, you know, like a design cycle sort of a thing. So you have to go back. It is obviously nonlinear. So you have to go back, look at yourself, ask more questions, have more conversations, then move into the zone, you know, where you are perhaps a little uncomfortable, then work an action plan and, you know, like after that, move ahead. So, and maybe experience a sense of achievement after the evaluation. It's a huge sense of relief, you know, like when the report comes and it is very positive, and then again, start working.
Yeah, no, that is, you're speaking to something that, you know, I work with about 60 IB schools here in the state of Minnesota in the U.S. And we, almost every meeting, we have someone, we celebrate someone's recent evaluation visit because it feels like a big weight off your shoulders. And they always give themselves at least some time, maybe it's months or whatever, but they give themselves some time just to breathe and let it just kind of settle. And then it's on to the next thing. But, it's such a good thing to have, a program like yours that's a continuum or, you know, depending on where you are in the world, if you have the support of a school system or, some organization like the IB to help your school continue to improve. And obviously, the whole point is to help the experience for the students and families. So, that's what we're about. So appreciate your sharing all this with us.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So is there anything that you know, to summarize or anything else that you want to kind of share with listeners about how this program has worked for you or what your recommendations you have for people as they set about to do this either for the first time or the 10th time?
Yes, I think the only recommendation I would have is that unless you take the ownership of the PDP and, you know, align it like with your context, so it won't work really. And for that, of course, so there are like pros and cons to various methods and processes, and there'll always be mistakes that we all make. But overall, it's a highly rewarding process, although extremely challenging sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But however, this entire evaluation process and the PDP itself forces us as a school to create space and also time, you know, take out time for more meaningful, purposeful, conversations. And there's no shared understanding also through all this.
Well, that's good. Those are good. Some good advice. Thank you. Yeah, that ownership and context. I mean, it's amazing when you think about the fact that the IB is a framework that exists and thrives all over the world in different cultures, different languages, different political circumstances. And because people are allowed to make it their own and to have ownership of their own, I mean, literally the program and the school get agency because they get to take charge. Yeah.
Okay.
Before we go, let me just, I'm looking at the notes we're sharing here and I see you have, you know, I mentioned earlier a number of links that will go in the podcast notes. I see one of them is a Padlet. Is there anything that you want to share about what people will find when they look at your links?
Right. So this Padlet, which I also share it with my school, has lots of resources on ATTs and also the ATLs. And it has various strategies, learning strategies, and also teaching strategies, so which can strengthen learner agency and all other aspects of the IB.
Okay, I'm sure that'll be helpful. ATT, for those of you listening, is approaches to teaching, which goes hand in hand with the approaches to learning, ATLs that we've heard a lot about. But was there anything else? Any final words, Jaya? I appreciate your being here with us today.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you about the IB program and the PD.
Well, thank you. And I think this is the first podcast on this specific topic. So I appreciate your volunteering to do this. And in fact, for those of you listening, you can connect with us through the podcast notes and reach out, as Jaya did, to share an experience that she has and an area of expertise. So if you're listening, connect with us through email or Twitter or whatever, and let us know what you'd like to talk about. So thanks again, Jaya, and I appreciate you coming on with this important topic.
Thank you.
You can learn more about IB school evaluation and improvement plans using links in our podcast notes, as well as on the IB website in your My IB portal. Now that we have over 100 IB Matters episodes covering a range of subjects, you can use our podcast webpage, which is organized by program and by topic. The link to the website is also in those podcast notes. You'll find all of our episodes wherever you get your podcasts, and please subscribe so you don't miss any future programs. Join our nearly 4,000 followers on Twitter at MattersIB. Also help us spread the word about IB by liking, sharing, and reviewing the IB Matters links in your own feeds and social networks. In our time on the air, we've been heard in over 160 countries, a testament to the global reach of the IB.